go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, truly great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. We thank You, dear God, that all that we've ever needed, You have so sovereignly, compassionately, faithfully given unto us. We thank You, dear God, for every cross that we bore and have to bear. We thank You for the times when we've been able to rejoice on the mountaintops, for the lilies in the valleys. We thank You for every single thing that ever happens in our lives. For Lord, You do reign sovereignly, and You wondrously reign in our lives. We pray, dear God, that You would meet with us in a special way this morning. We pray for those that are yet ill and sick. We pray that You would comfort them physically as well as spiritually. We pray for those who are burdened with a burden that only You can know and care. Lord, we pray that God, You would help and encourage and strengthen them. We pray for preachers around the world this day, those who are faithfully proclaiming the truths of God. We pray that, God, You would encourage and strengthen them. Lord, we pray that You'd uphold them with the right hand of Your righteousness. Lord, we pray for Thy church. God, that You'd send us reviving in these latter days. Lord, we see such weakness. We see such ungodliness and wickedness abounding everywhere. Lord, we pray that, God, You'd strengthen Thy children. Help us, we pray, that we might beware and that we might persevere in the faith. And by Thy grace, dear God, that we'd grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, meet with us, we pray. Be honored and glorified. In Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. And amen. 2 Peter chapter 3 this morning. Actually, throughout the week, the Lord has been dealing with my heart in three passages of Scripture. I feel led that this is the passage that He have us look at this morning. But one of the passages of Scripture that I'm still working on myself is in Psalms, where the psalmist said, "My times are in Thy hand." My times are in Thy hand. Times, plural, being Lord, no matter what happens in life, good or bad, my times, they're in Your hand. What a blessed comfort for every true believer. Beloved, I'm telling you, that takes the bitterness out of every cross, that strengthens us in the deepest of our afflictions, that comforts us in the most greatest grief that we might have, is to know that no matter what happens in my life, my times, all of them, whatever happens, it's in Your hand. No coincidences. Nothing happens by chance. It's not destiny. Everything is divinely, sovereignly ordained by God. And the believer finds great comfort in that. This morning I want to turn your attention to these last two verses in the second epistle of Peter, in hopes that God would encourage and challenge each and every one of us this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. The apostle writes here, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also," listen to the words of the Apostle Peter, "lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." In other words, Peter's saying, even the believer has to beware, because you can fall, not from grace, not lose your salvation, but you can fall from your own steadfastness. Beware that that not take place. Beware that that doesn't happen. Because you know these things before. I love how God tells us before. Verse 18. But grow. You see that? Make advancement. Make progress. Grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. What fitting words, last words, for the Apostle Peter, who suffered so much through the sifting of Satan, and his own weaknesses and infirmities, yet now as an aged apostle, his last words are words of exhortation, encouragement, and warning. Beware, because you too can fall from your own steadfastness. And the remedy is growing, ever making progress, never stopping, being consistent, moving on. Though it is considered common knowledge amongst the majority of believers today that these latter days shall be filled with many hardships and perils, beloved, I fear that for many believers such knowledge remains merely speculative and barren. Oh yeah, it's in the Scriptures. We know they're here. I don't believe we're entering into these latter days. I believe we find ourselves in the midst of them. Perilous days. And the perils of which Paul mentions in 2 Timothy is not so much the perils of the world and the wicked, such as the man in Kentucky, in the county next to the one I lived when I was there for a year in 2006, killed five people than himself because his wife didn't cook his eggs right. Took a 12-gauge shotgun and killed him. Simply because she didn't cook his eggs right. But the perils of which Paul speaks is perils that shall face the believer. And so he warns us that we have to beware of that. Beware of those parables. Be on our watch. Because I believe if we truly believe that these latter days are filled with such perils, and like Peter's exhortation, that we could fall from our own steadfastness, if we truly believe that, I believe there would surely be a greater spirit of watchfulness, prayer, and fortitude found amongst believers. And yet, we see very few believers who are being consistent, watchful, progressing, advancing in godliness and holiness. It's almost as though it's been a standstill. Throughout this entire second epistle of Peter, the apostle warns the believers against false teachers, heretics, and seducers. Scoffers, he says, shall come in the last days. He said they'll abound in these last days. He warns the believers about such people and exhorts them to persevere in the faith and continue in all holiness and godliness, lest you should be seduced, he says, and fall away from your own steadfastness. In his first epistle, the apostle exhorts all believers to bear patiently all afflictions and persecutions for the gospel's sake. Think it not strange, he said in his first epistle. Throughout the first epistle, he talks about persecutions and afflictions. He says, bear these things for the truth's sake. For after that you've suffered, he ends that epistle, after you have suffered a while, the God of all grace will make them perfect. Listen to this. Establish, strengthen, settle them. It ends a little different than the second epistle, doesn't it? He's saying your afflictions are going to work for you, so therefore bear your afflictions and your persecutions because God will use them to strengthen you, to settle you, to establish you. But in the second epistle, he warns about heretics and seducers and false teachers and scoffers, and he says be careful because the abundance of these could lead you to fall from your own steadfastness. Isn't that amazing? Timothy says it in the same language. Listen to, or Paul says it in the same language in 2 Timothy 3. Paul says it like this, and listen, sounds almost like Peter. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You see the difference? Now watch what he says. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. He said, you can live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. That's part of the Christian life. But evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you, because of these evil men and seducers, continue. Perseverance. The hardest thing for a believer to do in these latter days will be to persevere in godliness and true holiness and in faith. Perseverance in the faith. An advancement in personal holiness and godliness, dearly beloved, is the believer's only refuge against such perilous times. Paul says it, Timothy says it, our Lord even says it in the Gospels. John says it in his epistles. We must persevere in the faith. Stay the course. Seek to advance in our Christian life. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked. Fall. Now that word fall means drop away. Listen to me. Fall. Drop away. Be driven out of one's course. To lose. Become inefficient. That's what fall away means. In other words, you're going to be driven from your course, and you're going to be taken away from your own steadfastness. You're going to be taken off the course God has for you. That's what he means. What's going to happen is you're on the course, you're living the life for God, and you're going as fast as you can, you're doing what you can for the Lord, you love it, afflictions come, scoffers come, persecutions come, and what do? You're led off your course. And you fall from your own steadfastness. You lose track. This falling away from your own steadfastness, like I said earlier, is not in reference to the believer's salvation, which is eternally secure in Christ and kept by the power of God. That's not what he's talking about. But it's a falling away from constancy and persevering faith. We give up. We quit. We lose strength. We're not excited about the Christian life anymore. We're not excited about the things of Christ. Friday morning in our Bible study in the high rise was probably the best Bible study I've ever had since I've been in America. The best Bible study surely we ever had in the high rise. We went for an hour and a half, and I'm telling you, it was a wonderful discussion about irresistible grace, about salvation, about sovereignty of God, the will of man. It was fantastic. It was inspiring. It was an exciting conversation. I have rarely had a conversation like that since I've been to America. People say, preacher, you compare America with Germany too much. No, I compare America with Scripture too much. Not Germany. But the level of excitement that Christians should have about their Christian faith, about salvation, about Christianity, about the things of God, is rare today. Talked this morning on the phone, Sister Henny in Germany. She was a member of our church, and bless God, she's probably the most godliest woman I've ever met. I mean, this woman's conversation is 24/7, nothing about the Lord. And she loves to talk about Scripture, loves to talk stuff. And when she talks about the Lord, there's this flame and fire in her eyes, this excitement in her face. It's just a joy to be around her because you're excited, because she's excited. And that level of excitement about the things of Christ is rare in America. We hardly see that anymore. Don't fall from your own steadfastness. The solution is to grow, continue, persevere in grace. It didn't say the grace. It said in grace. And oh, beloved, if we spent time thinking about grace, if we truly know anything of the grace of God, especially those who embrace the doctrines of grace, we should have excitement in it, grow in grace. And in the knowledge of who? The most wonderful person we've ever met in our life and will ever know. The knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the solution. That's the remedy for not falling from your own steadfastness. Continue. Grow. Sometimes that's the hardest thing in the world to do. Afflictions knock us down. Heartaches seem to kind of give us a knockout blow. We find ourselves laying spiritually on the ground, wondering how we're ever going to get back up on our feet and begin life again. Continue. Persevere. No temptation is taking you, but it's such as common to man. Everybody's met temptations you and I have met. We're not above that. Our temptations are not worse than others. People have met greater temptations than we, and they've risen up from it. They've got better for it. It wasn't worsened. They were strengthened by it, not weakened. That's what Peter's saying. This is why the Lord said the way is straight and narrow, and there's not many that find it. Now, we like to limit that to salvation, but Peter says, the Lord said, the way is straight and narrow. Few there be that find it. And that's why Peter said, if the righteous are scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly appear? Beloved, this is the key. This is the remedy. This is the solution. This is the refuge from falling, leaving our course, getting off our course, falling from our own steadfastness. This is the remedy. Grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Falling from our own steadfastness is falling from constancy and persevering faith. Like I said, it's becoming hesitant and doubtful and inconsistent. I've never seen so many Christians inconsistent and hesitant and wavering as I've seen in the last 2 or 3 years. The average Christian has no idea in the world what God's will is for their life. Let me tell you what God's will is for your life. And I'm not overstepping my bounds. Look, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Brethren, by the mercies of God, I beseech you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now what he says? Why does he say that? Which is your reasonable service? Why? That you might know the will of God. Why does he say that? You'll never know the will of God until you're ready to give your body as a living sacrifice. You offer it up to God. So many Christians are looking for God's will without offering their lives up to God. God, or what do you want? Not do what do I want. Not what is in my best desire. Not as what is in my best interest, but what is in your best interest. It's about you. It's about Christ. It's not about me. But that's what afflictions and persecutions and perilous times do to believers. They threaten us to veer us off the course. And we start looking into ourselves. Instead of saying, God, what is it you want? And so many times when we find ourselves in those situations, that's why I said your own steadfastness, we find ourselves praying and asking God's will, but asking God to bless our plans and desires, not asking God what He wants. We've got our mind made up. We're just asking God to bless what we've decided to do. You ever been that way? I have. I prayed for things and found myself saying, God, I'm actually only asking you to bless what I'm planning on doing. I haven't really actually asked you what you want. But I'm asking you to bless my desires. That's what happens. That's why he says, your own steadfastness. You'll fall. You'll get off course. My times are in thy hands. And Lord, I wish them so to be, the song says. They're in your hands. Beloved, we have an evil counselor within our own bosoms. It's called self. David said in Psalms 119, I've made God's statute my counselors, not my own self, not my own desires and wishes, but I've made God's Word my counselor. And so often, we veer from our own steadfastness. We fall from our own steadfastness during these perilous times because we tend to listen to counselors we ought not to listen to. Sometimes it's easier to listen to somebody else to tell us what to do because it's an audible voice. And most of the time, we ask somebody who will agree with our opinion. You ever been there? I'm not going to talk with those who don't agree. I'm going to talk with those who agree because that way I can say, well, I feel better about it. Be careful, beloved. Make God's Word your sole counselor. Let God's Word be your sole counselor because even the best of friends can lead you astray. Not purposely. In such times, Peter's telling us, look at the situations here. Lest you fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace. You see that? And in the knowledge. You see what he's saying? Grow in grace and the knowledge, lest you do fall. Trust God. Commit yourself to Him. The opposite of steadfast is to be faint-hearted, half-hearted, and wavering. And you know, dearly beloved, even the greatest saints have not been spared this danger of falling from their own steadfastness. Every true saint of God has been threatened by this same thing. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's elite. We're all in danger of that. That's why he said, therefore, beloved. Elijah sat underneath a juniper tree and wanted to die. Did a great work for God. A woman stands up and says, I'm going to kill you tomorrow. What's he do? He gets off course, goes find a juniper tree, sits underneath it, pounces like a little child, and says, I'm going to die. Remember Moses? Moses got so frustrated with the children of Israel, he said, this burden is too heavy for me. In Numbers chapter 11, you know what he said? He said, God, just kill me. I can't bear all these people. God never told Moses to bear all those people. God didn't give Moses that burden. Moses took it upon himself. But Moses got veered off course, fell from his own steadfastness, and said, that's it, I can't bear this anymore, just kill me. These are great saints of God. David fought Goliath, the lion and the bear. David got to a point in his life and said, oh, I wish I had wings as a dove. I'd just fly away and get away from all of this. He veered off course. And at the moment, all these excuses appeared to them to be just. Elijah really thought it was just for him to say that. He says, I'm no better than my fathers. Just kill me. Moses thought it was just. This burden's killing me. I'm just in saying this. David thought it was just. I'm feeling very, very unhappy and sad. I want to just fly away. And every single one of them thought that this is justified. Beloved, stop and wait on God. Grow in grace. Talked to a brother up in Colorado, small group, trying to build a church. I met him when I was up there visiting my family. They're trying to start a church. He called me the other day. He's not really a preacher. And he's holding services on Sunday, and he's not of a few. There's a lot of places like that throughout America. And he called me yesterday, just greatly discouraged, and said, brother, I just don't know what to do. I'm frustrated. I'm at a point where I don't know what to do. And I said, if you don't know what to do nothing. Don't make something happen. Simply because you feel you have to do something. Don't make something happen. Just wait on God. God's big enough to move mountains. He's big enough to do it. Just sit and grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But don't fall from your own steadfastness. If we don't continue to grow and persevere in the faith, dearly beloved, grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Peter's saying that we're going to be in danger of falling from our own steadfastness. Proverbs said it best, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And it's not so much directed to our strength, but it's the courage and resolution that we have because we have faith in Christ is what he's talking about. Satan is not new at this. Do you know that? He's not new. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows if he just throws a little hindrance in the way, he can have somebody veer off the course. Beloved, once we veer off the course, sometimes it's harder to get back on that course than if we veered off of it. You know that? You know why I believe I'm in Texas? You say, well, God sent you here. Of course he did. But you know why I believe God sent me here? Because I ran in Kentucky and I ran in San Antonio and God brought me here and said, you're not running no more. If you can't face the music, if you can't stand up and persevere, I'll just head your way up and you won't run no more. And you know what I say? Thank God, because I was getting tired of running. Beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, but persevere, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. When things get difficult, it's not greener on the other side, believe me. It's greener right where God's got you. Grow in the grace. You know what steadfast is? Let me bring this to a close with this. You know what steadfast is? Let me give you just a bunch of words. Steadfast is to be constant, dedicated, devoted, true, faithful, sure, dependable, reliable, steady, stable, unshaken, untaunted, unflinching, unswerving, unwavering, undeviating, unshrinking, unbending, unfaltering, unhesitating, resolute, resolved. That's a lot of... This is so lacking in many Christians. Beware. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Just ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. You think John, the beloved, wanted to end his final days in isolation on Patmos? He didn't, but God did. You think Joseph wanted to get to the throne by way of the dungeon? He didn't, but God did. You think David wanted God to sit on the throne through way of the wilderness, suffering the loss of five of his own punishments upon him to teach David a lesson? David didn't, but God did. Those things that sometimes appear to be the hardest for us, listen to me, those are the times God wants to show the greatest of himself. And that's exactly when we fail. Isn't it? Beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the solution. That's the key. That's the remedy. Keep going. See, the preacher, it's hard. Didn't say it'd be easy. It hurts. Didn't say it'd be easy to get over. But I guarantee you, when you do, and you begin to grow in that grace and in that knowledge, I'm telling you, Christ will reveal something about himself you'd have never known without it. Amen? Beware, dearly beloved. We're in the latter days. A lot of things are trying to get us off course. Stay the course. Trust in God. Wait on Him. Amen. May God give us grace to learn the lesson
and to hold it dear to us.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Thy Word. Lord, thank You how it challenges us every step of the way. Lord, I pray that God, You'd help us, as Paul said in his exhortation to the church at Corinth, that we might quit like men. Lord, that You might give us that courage, that perseverance that we need. Were not the right man on our side, all our striving would be in vain. God, we pray that You'd move mightily in us. May, like Martin Luther said, even in that very same hymn, may the truths of God triumph through us. Lord, I pray that God, You'd encourage and strengthen us. God, be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. For I ask these things in Christ's name.